Good morning, and we would like to welcome our radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church located at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Please join us on Ash Wednesday / Valentine's Day, Wednesday, February the 14th. We will be offering a spaghetti dinner starting at 5:30 p.m. and our service will be at 7 p.m. All are welcomed here at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. This morning's scripture reading will be from Luke chapter 14, verses 31 through 44. This can be found in your pew Bible starting on page 1118. Jesus drives out an evil spirit. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives order to evil spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus heals many. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and it began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And now our morning sermon, "Let Go and Let God," by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Who's heard that saying, "Let go and let God"? How well do you do it? It is a difficult thing to do. When I first entered into recovery, that was one of the first principles they taught you. Let go and let God. Stop trying to control everything in your life. Obviously, it's not working anyway, so turn it over to God. But me, I'm stubborn. I don't let go of anything without claw marks, especially when it came to my children. Let go and let God. For me, to begin with, that translated as, "You're not doing what I told you to do, and if you would only do what I told you to do, because I know so much, your life will be better." So, you're not doing that. I'm going to stop talking to you. That's not what let go and let God means. We are to let go in love and let God control the situation. And when it comes to our loved ones, we have to honor them and allow them to make their mistakes, to fall down, to scrape their knees on their own. We remain in contact. We remain in the background for them. We don't completely let go and have them deal with everything in life on their own. But we don't try to control their choices. Luke, the physician and the historian, goes into this concept pretty well. He tells us that Jesus came to Capernaum, the city in Galilee, that he began teaching on the Sabbath in their synagogue, and they were astonished by Jesus' teaching. Jesus teaches the word. Jesus is the word, and people are amazed. His words are different than any other teacher in the synagogue. They begin to realize that he is unique and he is different. Duh, he is. In the synagogue that day, there was someone else who recognized Jesus as the one and only Son of God, recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And that person cried out in fear and terror, "Jesus, what are you going to do to us? Jesus, have you come here to destroy us?" There was a man sitting in the synagogue who was possessed by an unclean spirit. Just because we attend church, beloved, does not mean that we are not susceptible to the evil one's tactics. Jesus told him, "Be still and come out of that man." That impure spirit had no choice but to obey right away. He threw the man down in front of everyone, but he did not harm him, and he came out of that man. When Jesus was finished preaching, he went with Simon Peter to Simon Peter's house. And when he got there, Simon Peter looked at him and said, "Lord, Lord, my mother-in-law is ill. Her fever is so high. She is so sick. Please, Lord, will you do something?" He recognized that his Lord and Master had the power to cure her. Jesus simply bent down and rebuked the fever, and out it came. People wanted Jesus to stay around. That evening, they brought with them all of their sick, all of those possessed by unclean spirits, because they truly believed that he could do a mighty work of healing. What about us, beloved? We have the Word of God. We are told that if we truly believe, we can do even greater works than Jesus did. But you know what? We have a hard time trusting Jesus. We hand him something. We let go and let God. And within an hour, we have grabbed it back. We're worrying about it. We're stressing about it. Or worse yet, I know none of you have ever done this one, but I've been known to. Tell God what he should do. "You should do this, this, and this, God, because it will work out. Because my plan is so good." Not. I don't know why I do things like that. Because I know through and through that anything that I can imagine, anything that I can plan, could not be nearly as good as what Christ Jesus has planned for me. But we have the tendency to want to control things in our life. Who here has ever been around a toddler when they decide they are going to do it themselves? Yeah. I do it myself. Well, I have to admit, I have the tendency to say, "I do it myself." Sometimes it's just because I'm not thinking. When something happens in my life that is not good, I wish my first instinct was to turn to Christ, to to hand him the problem, to trust him to take care of it. But that is not my first instinct. My first instinct is to get in there and try to fix it. And of course, I mess it up all the more. And then I am dropped to my knees so that I can fully submit my life to my Lord and Master. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, oh, for grace to trust him more. When we are done with this message, Mark is going to play Jesus at the Center. And I offer you the opportunity to come stand down here at the altar. Stand, kneel, stand where you're at. But rededicate your entire life to him. You can stand where you're at. But there is tremendous power in the laying on of the hands. And there is tremendous power in confessing with your mouth and with your actions that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is in control, that he is all powerful, that you submit to him. Notice that the people of Capernaum recognized that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of the Most High God, recognized that he had power. He had the same power as God his Father. You know, that's one of the things that aggravates me the most about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It wasn't that they did not believe that Jesus Christ was Lord. It wasn't that they hadn't saw the miracles for themselves and knew who he was. What aggravates me is they were worried that it was going to rock their little world. It was going to change how they did things. And they wanted to remain in control. So instead of letting God have his way, they grabbed a hold of control. They badmouthed Jesus. They set him up time and time again. They called him blasphemous. They put him on trial. They worked the crowd into a frenzy so that they would say, "Crucify him." They let our Lord Jesus, knowing full well that he was the Son of God, they let him die upon the cross because they so desperately wanted to be in control. I don't know about you, beloved, but I have said over and over again that there is absolutely nothing that I could even possibly dream up that could be anywhere near as good as what God has planned for me. I know that in the depth of my being. I have experienced enough times where I have messed up and tried to take control of my life, or worse yet, somebody else's life. But it is still difficult to submit. Listen to our great hymns. We are taught to die to self, to cease our sinning, to cease our selfish ways. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Something happens in our life, usually something bad, and we then are ready to let Christ Jesus have our entire life. We submit to him. Beloved, I challenge you, submit to him every day. Make your confession to him today. You are Lord and Master over my life. And then each and every day, submit to him. Ask him to take total control of your life. Let the triune God go to work in your life. Let Jesus Christ take over your life. Let the Holy Spirit fill you with faith. Let God, the Father, bestow his grace upon you. Let God do His work in and upon your life, and you will discover something wonderful. You will be filled with joy. You will walk through any situation in life, knowing you are not alone, knowing that no matter what happens, Jesus Christ will uphold you. I remember seeing this wonderful poster in great big handwriting. It's terrible they don't have handwriting in school anymore. But it said, "I am God. I will be handling all of your problems today. Please remember that I do not need your help." Huh. If something happens in your life that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it by yourself. Just give it to me. I will handle the matter in my own way and in my own time. He takes from us our tangled messes. You know, in textile factories, they weave beautiful tapestries together. But they're told, if the machine jams up the thread and it becomes tangled, call for your supervisor. Well, there was a new guy. He had just started. He was so excited. He was in a hurry to make his quota. Next thing you know, his machine got jammed up. He tried to fix it himself, and he had a huge tangled mess in front of him. His supervisor came along and said, "Why didn't you call me?" And he looked at the supervisor and he said, "I was just trying to do the best that I can." And he said, "See that sign up there? It says, if it gets tangled, call your supervisor." Doing the best that you can means to call your supervisor. Doing the best that we can means to call upon Christ Jesus, means to ask the Holy Spirit to take control of whatever the situation is around us. We need to call upon Jesus and let Him, in His grace, act in our life. In the same way, doing our best means that we daily die to self and submit to whatever Christ Jesus has in mind for us. We allow Jesus Christ to be the very center of our life. I'm sure you all do better at this than I do, because I frequently throughout the day realize that I have taken back whatever it is I put in His hands. You would think as a minister that I would be in the Word daily, that I would continually trust Him to take care of any situation that comes up for me. My girls get in an argument, and I get in there and try to fix it and really make a mess of things. By now, I should know. Place them in Jesus' hand. Call forth the Holy Spirit to be at the very center of their life. What about you? Is Jesus Christ the center of your life? Does He have complete control of your finances, of your marriage, of your day-to-day activities? Who here has ever had a taste, just a taste, of Him being at the center of your life? It's pretty amazing, wasn't it? So are we going to be that three-year-old that says, "I want to do it myself"? Or are we going to turn our life, our church, our family, our place of employment, all over to Him and let Him be at the center of it? Today, Jesus Christ says to each and every one of you, "I was sent for this purpose. This is why I have come." Listen, I have good news for you. I love you. I love each and every one of you. You are saved. You are healed. Always remember that you are very special to me, that I will be with you unto the end of the age. You can go in peace and live each and every day by faith and trust that I will help you. Because, beloved, you and I, God, and all of you have some important work to do. And that is furthering the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And beloved, we can't handle that task on our own. We have to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Again, I invite you, in just a moment, I'm going to have Mark play Jesus at the Center. Come down here to the altar. Stand before this altar and tell him with your actions, with your life, I am turning everything over to you. I am letting go and letting God take control of my life. Put Jesus at the center of your life.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the same. Jesus, be the center. Say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus.
Jesus, be the center, all of my. your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Oh!